Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yo, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Sorry if it's very echoey, but another unprofessional voice note from me to intro today's show. Hold on a second, I'm thinking if I put a jacket over my head, will that make it a little bit better? Oh, I think that sounds a bit more professional. I got rid of the echo. It has in my head anyway. How are you doing? Happy Friday. It's good to be back. And any upcoming news? Well, the news is that I'm going on tour. Woo! Now, tickets negotiations are ongoing with venues, but tickets are going to be on sale. One of the tickets has already gone on sale. As you've got this out, Portlaoise has already gone on sale because I'm going to be in Portlaoise tonight with Gerard Farley. But tickets for Stephen Mullen Ouch in Portlaoise is on sale. And you can find tickets for this show at www.thestephenmullen.com. Get onto that website and you will have tickets for the Portlaoise one. The rest of the tickets are going on sale in the next couple of weeks. And it is going to be for a spring tour. I would love to see you all there. Stephen Mullen Ouch, my Edinburgh show, is going on tour and I can't wait to bring it around Ireland. I'm also going to be in New York City very soon as well. I know lots of you send me messages from New York and ask me when I'm going to New York. I am going to be in New York. I'm going to be performing at the New York Comedy Festival. I think it's November 8th. Should have had this written down. November 8th, I'm going to be performing the week of the 8th. I'm going to be doing loads of shows. But anyway, I'll keep you posted on that closer to the time. But I'll be at New York Comedy Festival as well. And I think that's it. It's getting very hot here under my jacket. I'm not going to lie to you. Also on the StephenMullen.com, if you could sign up to the mailing list, that is where I'm going to send you sporadic emails, not all the time, but I'm going to send you an email about what stuff is coming up and I'll keep you posted. If you've missed a podcast or whatever, I'll be able to send you an email of upcoming gigs and when I'm touring and when I'm doing different various bits and pieces that you guys might be interested in doing. Anyway, today's show. Taran O'Sullivan has become a wonderful friend of mine who I barely knew, as you'll hear on the podcast before this Edinburgh Fringe Festival, but she was there working alongside the team at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, making it all happen, making the magic happen, and we had a great old time. Taran and I end up hanging out a lot after my show was done. We'd hang out in these little booths in the venue that where I was at, these little booths, like diner booths kind of thing, and everybody would come and go, and there'd be chit-chats here and there, and we'd have the crack. So I thought, why not get Taran on the show? Taran is an up-and-coming stand-up comedian here in Dublin, and you can follow her at TaranOS77 on Instagram, but I'll put all the details to that in the link to this podcast. She's a very funny lady. I love hanging out with her. But what we have an interesting conversation about mostly is dating. Very interesting. Taran is very interested in the world of dating. And we did talk a lot about that kind of stuff while we were over there in Edinburgh, along with all the other team that were there. I love it. It's a fascinating world, the dating world. I have done a few pilot episodes of a dating type podcast. I don't know if it might come back in the future. I don't know. But anyway, this was a fantastic conversation. And I'd love to hear from you guys because what women go through, but then what men go through on dating as well. It's a bloody crazy world out there. Anyway, you know what time it is, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the podcast. Let's do this.
Hey, Steven! Keep a change, you filthy animal.
Oh, it's fucking on. Sorry, language. Bad start for the language. It's not that it's a thing, and our sponsors don't care, Taran. We are here. We're back in Dublin City. with the wonderful Taryn O'Sullivan, who's brought us some sour squirms.
Yes, the I did look for squishies because we ate a lot of them in Edinburgh, but
I don't think I've seen them in Dublin.
No.
Can we describe squishies to the audience who
like refresher bars that you can eat?
That's right, yeah. And they easily. Were gorgeous. Were they not drumsticks ones as well, or were they the same ones?
Yes. And there was two flavors. One was really nice and one was minging.
I don't think I had the minging one. I just had the pink and blue ones.
There was a banana and a red, not nice one.
I didn't have that one.
Yeah.
Interesting. I was kept away from it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful Taryn O'Sullivan is on the show. And I was thinking, before we came in, Taryn, where we first met. And I actually don't remember. Do you remember when we first met?
In MVP.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I saw it. Yeah, that's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember. You were very funny. Yeah, yeah.
But the bit that stood out to me was when you said that you were single. I was like, I didn't think there was any other single people left in the world.
What does that mean? Was that on stage?
Yeah, in your set, you mentioned that you were a single dad.
Yeah.
And I felt like looking around and being like, is everyone else here in this?
Why? What do you mean by that?
Because no one is ever single.
In the comedy world?
In the comedy world in general. Like, you rarely meet single people.
Taryn, come on.
I nearly fell off my seat.
Not like, at the jokes, ladies and gentlemen, just at the fact that I was single.
I didn't hear anything you said after that. Single.
I know. That was one of the... Was I doing work? I think I was doing work in progress that day. No. I think
you
I was just
headlining,
doing a set. Yeah, I was just doing a set. Because I did afterwards go back and do a work in progress show, and I didn't realize how long everyone had been sitting in that room for. And they'd been there for like 2.5-3 hours.
You went back that eve?
No, I went back another time, right? Okay, I went back and did a work in progress for my Edinburgh show that was coming up.
Yeah.
But the audience had been sitting there for 3 hours or something like that. And
oh my God.
I didn't realise. And I went on to kind of close and do my work in progress. And they were just dead. There was nothing. Absolutely, like, died hard on my
whole. How long did you do?
I was trying to do 40, I think, but I just did 30 in the end. And that was one of those walk homes. Thank God for Jason Byrne. I called him the next day. I walked home that night thinking about jobs I'd have to go get. Like, I'm not even joking.
And how long ago was that?
That was just before Edinburgh. That was like
God.
3-4 weeks before Edinburgh. Genuinely going... I'm going to have to think about getting back into the carpentry.
Yeah.
I died on my hole. Also, it doesn't help having to follow John Spillane and he's after throwing Johnnies at the audience.
Like he... It's so hard to follow him because he's going completely off the audience as well, which they just love.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And he's also doing like... John's been on the podcast, but he's also doing... Like, he doesn't mind John. He's going to give out to me because I said this to him. I said this in Edinburgh. He comes on and he did this thing where he dresses up. I shouldn't be giving it away. He
it's Christmas. Up.
No.
No.
This one was he dressed up as a train driver. Right? And he had a beatbox, right, that played the Thomas the Tank Engine theme tune. It was like, do, 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 do. Then he had a wooden whistle that does the perfect train whistle.
Amazing. Doo, doo.
And then he starts shouting to everybody all aboard the comedy train. Right. And I am, from this off, losing it laughing. Right? Because no one else is laughing, obviously.
Is everyone just staring?
And he keeps doing it until they start laughing. So I was telling this story, what I've just told you, to other people in John's presence and why I loved this bit. And he was like, the key thing you said there, Stephen, was that I keep doing it until they start laughing. And he does. He doesn't stop.
Yeah. Like, it takes huge balls to just stand there and stare into the audience and be like, no, I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. He was standing at a table at one point, and I think like someone that was working at the venue came up, you know, health and safety wise, and he just stayed there. So the audience are all tense now about like, is he going to get in trouble here or what? But he's like train conductor, train driver, no shoes and socks on, throwing condoms at the audience on the table, giving out to some fella because he works in, he was a civil servant.
Amazing.
I mean, I love that stuff, and I definitely tried a bit more of the wacky stuff, but like, you just... John like kills as much as he dies. That's the amazing thing about it, you know.
Yeah.
It's wild. But anyway,
you'd have to be resilient.
Resilient slash mad. Yeah. But he has his own mind. He has his own, like, I've seen him like take the roof off a place, like, and that's it's the wonderful thing about it. But Taryn, so the first time we met was an MVP, but we know each other.
I have a good story about MVP that night.
Oh yeah.
So there was a man, do you remember the table of men on the left? And they were running.
They were kind of behind us. Yes, that's well remembered. Yeah.
Well, one of them was really, really good looking.
Right.
So not only had you announced you were single that night, there was a good looking man in the audience. Like, I can't get over this place. I'm I'm going to come every week.
Have you been back since?
Every Wednesday. Get there. I don't work on a Wednesday now. I just get there in the morning to see the men as they come in. And he was gorgeous. Like, so you probably do.
I do remember. He was sitting at the edge on one side, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He was really giving me a lot when I was doing my set. And then he followed me on Instagram.
Did he?
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Like, yeah. Maybe this is just, it's meant to be.
Yeah.
And then we were messaging. And then I looked through his, he started messaging me.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Jesus.
And I looked through his posts and he was married.
Oh, I was just going to say as a joke. And he is married.
He is married.
Wow.
And he messaged.
Name's joking.
Yeah, it was a weird name anyway. Like, then we wouldn't know. But like he was like, do you want to meet for a drink sometime? And I was like, well, I can clearly see that you're married.
Right.
And he was like, oh, it's very complicated.
Oh, it might be a visa jobby.
Well, I don't know. But I was just like, no, I don't think I would meet a married man.
So you didn't meet him?
No.
Interesting. So a hottie was into you, and just the minor detail of him being married.
But there was pictures of him with the wife, so either like maybe he was separated. Like, I don't think you would willingly walk into that.
You would willingly walk into it.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, you'd have to figure out what was. It's hard to understand. I mean, it might be like, you know, I've been hearing terminology in the past few months. Pardon me, burp. In the dating world, like things like, I've only learned about polyamory. I didn't know what that was like 7-8 months ago. And
but is that kind of like an open relationship?
Well, exactly. Here we go. So, so it's not an open relationship. Actually, right. It basically means that if you're polyamorous, so say for example, if you're polyamorous, you are in a relationship with one person, right?
Yeah.
But you are allowed to have relationships with other people. It doesn't mean that then if an open relationship would mean that one of your relationships or that you would invite somebody into your couple.
A free for all.
Yeah, kind of a thing. But polyamory doesn't necessarily mean, it doesn't involve necessarily threesomes and all that. It's having multiple relationships.
Yeah.
So I met a woman and she was just out of a polyamorous relationship.
Stop.
And And just from like, how would you say, look at keeping your diary organized alone, it's a bloody headache.
Yeah.
Because that was the first thing she said. I said, oh, it's a nightmare. It was a nightmare just trying to get a free evening.
Was she stunning?
She was a good looking woman. Yeah. But it seems I think there's just another world. I mean, there's probably people listening to this going, come on, wakey, wakey, guys. Come on to fuck, you know. But
no, I didn't know.
You didn't know about polyamory?
I knew, I'd heard of it, but I didn't really know what happened in Ireland. I thought it was more like Alabama, like.
Yeah. You just thought it was a redneck.
Yeah.
No, it seems to be like, and it is like, I also did, what was that guy? Sorry, I'm kind of blanking, but I have a picture of a guy in my head that I watched a few YouTube videos of. And what was he famous for doing? What was his work? I think he was in meditation world or ayahuasca world or something like that. That's what he was in.
Yeah.
One of these mad well-being stuff. And I went down the wormhole of one of these guys, and he had just come out of a polyamorous relationship, but he'd done it for 4 or 5 years.
Stop.
So, but now he says he would never do it again. He tried it, but he'd never do it again. But it's out there in the world, and people are doing it. And
would you do it, Stephen? Do you think?
I don't honestly. Again, from the, and this, I'm not even joking. Like it's from a logistical perspective, it would just be too much of a headache. I one person is more than enough to be dealing with. Because you're not talking about sleeping around here. You're talking about relationships. Mm-hmm. These are relationships.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you have to go out with two people. It's like,
and support, like emotionally two people.
Exactly. You have to be there for all that.
Jesus, no.
I don't think so. Would you? I don't know. I suppose you can't. You can't knock it till you try it. Apparently, that's what they all say. But anyway, so we did meet each other doing the shows and all that, but we've kind of it feels like we're definitely a lot closer now, but we're colleagues on a different level now. Taryn is obviously a comedian as well, but came to work at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
I did.
And we just sat every day. I was just thinking we were even more than work colleagues because we hung out every day. There was no weekends. There was no days off. Oh, you mean you'd one day off and that was the day I sold out. But anyway, no big deal. But Taryn was basically production manager. Was that the term?
Yeah.
Looking after the team of people that looked after making sure all the acts that were with our company, kind of all the acts that were on. So looking after flyers and doing work shifts and all that kind of stuff while you were popping off and doing your own gigs as well.
Yes. So I was very busy.
You were very busy, Taryn.
And then I had to keep in control of Stephen Mullen.
And keep in control of yourself as well, because you're trying to fit in a few dates as well there, Taryn, weren't you?
I went on one date.
Was it one?
Yeah. Went on one date and I told you about it. He was a catfish.
Yes. So I forget. Is this an Australian?
No, this was the very first. I don't think I knew you as well then.
Okay.
This was actually the second day of Edinburgh.
Right.
And
very quick off the mark.
A comedian from home actually messaged me and was like, Taryn, get on Tinder over there.
Right.
You know, because
you'll meet loads of artists and stuff like that.
Yeah, like lots of open-minded kind of traveling, you know, artists, whatever. So got Tinder, downloaded it. Yep. And obviously, when you download a dating app first, it's like, wow, because...
Are you being honest here that you haven't had Tinder before that?
Not since I've been single this time, no.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I've had Bumble.
How long are you single?
Since February.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you've enjoyed the break maybe? Or,
no.
Or you've just been doing the other dating app?
No, sorry. I've actually just... men have gone from one to the other since. Like, I'm not even joking. So Edinburgh was the first time I was properly not speaking to anyone.
What do you mean? You weren't chatting up fellas on the apps at all?
No, because I've gone seamlessly from one man to the other
right,
since.
I get you, sorry.
There hasn't been really a...
Oh, sorry. So, right, okay.
So when I broke up with my ex, then I was talking to someone else that I met at a gig, another comedian, and then a guy that I used to be riding years ago came back on the scene, and that was off again. And me and him ended it just before Edinburgh, maybe like 3 or 4 days before Edinburgh.
Oh, really? Right, I have no idea this. Okay.
So I've been talking to him for 3 months.
And it ended because you were going to Edinburgh?
So he lived in London. So we used to be going out with each other when we lived in Australia.
Okay.
We both lived in Australia. And like, he was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I was mad about him. So when I was single...
Where's he from?
Clare.
Okay. Oh, he's Irish. Okay.
Yeah, he's Irish. So when I was single again, I added him on Instagram. We got talking again, but he lives in London. So he came over a few times to see me, but we were texting a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. The connection was being rekindled a little bit.
Yeah, completely.
Obviously ended on good terms then, since the breakup in Australia.
Oh, the breakup in Australia was lovely. He was just like, listen, I'm moving back to Ireland.
Right.
Bloody bad. That was all fair enough. But this time he was an asshole.
Oh.
I think I did tell you about this. He messaged...
It's hard to keep up, but go on. Yeah,
yeah. I'm confusing myself. He ghosted me.
Yes, I do have a... Go on, keep going.
So I was meant... So he lives in London. I was meant to go over to London to see him before he came to Edinburgh.
Yes, I have a recollection of this story, yeah.
And then he just ghosted me. So I never booked the tickets or anything. And then like a week into Edinburgh, I got a text being like, oh, sorry, I've been really bad at communicating.
No shit. How long later was that? Weeks later?
Like over a week, yeah.
Right. And so what, he wanted to rekindle stuff in Edinburgh?
No. He was like, oh, it's just not going to work out because our talk... got kind of boring.
That's right, you did.
Like, I nearly fell over. Like, if I can't entertain him, no one can.
No way. Taryn is mental. You're already being a bit reserved so far, but like, I'm waiting to get you warmed
but
up
over,
and
like,
be mental
text.
Taryn from Edinburgh. No, I'm joking. No.
You'd have to get me some Jemison from across the road, Stephen.
But there's some of the shite you'd come out with having the crack in the booth at Edinburgh.
Yes. So much fun.
Yeah, go on. Keep going. I'm interrupting you.
So that was it. No, that was the whole story.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wrote back, like, I was kind of sober at the time when I received that message.
Right.
So I just wrote back like, oh, like, listen, it was only a bit of fun anyway, just to kind of, for his ego, to give it a good
Good
slap,
woman, Taryn.
To give it a...
Yes.
Poof. Yeah.
Nice, nice.
But then I got drunk.
Oh, Taryn. Yeah, go on.
And I said, like, because obviously he said that the conversation had died.
I love you.
No, what I said was, I actually had a better conversation with my granny the day she died.
You said that to him?
Yeah, in her coffin. But then he didn't reply to
oh
that.
My god.
Yeah.
Wow. What? Well, he no shit, he didn't reply to that.
But I thought it was funny.
It was okay,
like,
right.
Yeah, I worded it better than that, but the whole idea was like, when my granny was dead and I said goodbye to her in her coffin, we had a better conversation than you were having with me.
That's a very Anthony Jeselnik. That's very good though. That's very good. Yeah. It's a good joke.
So yeah, but he obviously didn't find it funny because no reply.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's obviously, you know, again, the ego situation. It's hard. It is hard. So we were talking about this very recently, and you have a theory, although I don't, and I've heard lots of female comics say this, so I'm not saying anyone's right or anyone's wrong. I'm just saying that from my perspective, I don't think the same way. But you think that men in the dating world don't like what?
Funny women.
They don't like funny women.
They hate it.
They find it... You think they actually find it unattractive?
Really unattractive. And I think for their ego, they like to be the funny ones. Like most men, I think you're a bit more secure than most men. I don't think you'd mind a woman being funny.
Oh, I don't think I would call myself necessarily because I think we've all got our insecurities, but maybe that's just not one of them.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's also not that I don't need... We had a quick conversation. I don't need to be the funniest person in the room in a given situation. Like, apart from doing shows. But even at that, it's just like you kind of like that. It's just a very... I understand what you're saying, and maybe I haven't been around it, or there's a generational thing that I'm missing out on or something about it. But to me, as I was saying to you, like, all my funny comes from my mother.
Yeah.
My father is not funny at all.
So you
right?
were used to seeing a relationship where a woman's funnier.
Yeah, but it also was never measured on that. It was never. I've never been in a relationship where that's been a competition. I've never been I'm just thinking of a girl I went out with in my mid-20s, like, and she was, for me anyway. I used to tell her all the time, and I wasn't a comedian at all. Like, she was funnier than me, to me anyway. In the relationship, she was funnier because she could also do impersonations of me that were fucking like. So
amazing.
She'd do impersonations of me giving out about something.
Oh, I'd
and
pay
she
could, her.
She'd march. She'd march around the house going. And with the little when I get angry, the little Cork accent comes out a little bit more. She used to do that as well. So I used to film her doing that, and I used to film her doing stuff all the time. It was the funniest thing ever to me.
Stop it, Stephen, you weirdo.
Well, just doing funny stuff. Like, she'd be walking down the street. Just she used to do a pigeon walk as well that I thought was hilarious. So yeah, it was never a thing for me that I found it. I don't know, but I do understand what you're saying. There is competition because the mom of my child. I remember talking with her about it, and she was kind of saying that when she grew up, I don't know if this is about you, but it was never a competition to be funny amongst the girls or amongst her girlfriends.
Yeah, no.
But with fellas, it is.
Right.
So, and she could see that. So therefore, it was always a thing.
Yeah.
And I get what you're saying then, when if you're going on dates with guys and you are very funny, then that they're just like...
Because I went on a date on Monday.
Yes, here we go.
And this was Tinder, so Tinder's obviously still going from Edinburgh.
Right. Good woman.
I've deleted it since Monday.
Since Monday?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
God.
Never again.
This is trauma now, Taryn.
So the first message was, he messaged me and he was like, because I have pictures of me doing comedy on my Tinder.
Good. Yeah.
Had past tense.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, the comedy thing is intriguing. That's what his first line that he said. And then
so that's a bit of a dickhead thing to say, because he's kind of like, it intrigues me that you might think you're funny is what he's kind of saying. Is
yes.
It? Yeah, exactly. He's a dickhead. Yeah.
But I didn't see it like that. I thought maybe he meant like, oh, that's cool, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, now that you say it, that's definitely how he meant it. So we were messaging a few times, and then he was like, this was on Sunday, and he was like, oh, let's go for a drink like whenever you're free. So he was like, what about tomorrow? And I actually happened to be free, and obviously I'm 30 now, so I'm not getting younger, so there was no
you
point.
You don't look at town, stop it.
Thank you. There was no point being like, oh, I'm not free, bloody bus. So I went and met him anyway, and we met in the Barge, you know, that pub.
It's a famous, is that one down Bulls Bridgeway kind of a thing?
By the Barge.
Okay. Yeah.
And when I got there, he was across the road pretending to be on the phone.
Right.
And you know,
like on a phone call.
Yeah, but you can kind of tell when someone's pretending. And I
do that when I'm walking down the street and I don't want to talk to somebody that I can see coming my way.
Yeah, that's
I'm
fine.
Like, I'll call you back, ma'am. Right, so he's pretending to be on the phone, right.
And he has this face of pure misery.
Oh, God.
Like absolute misery.
Oh, God.
And he walks across the road, and I was just like, Jesus. And like, I couldn't not acknowledge it.
What was going on.
I was like, you don't look very happy. And he was like, excuse me? I was like, you look miserable.
Taryn, wow. Yeah, go on, keep going. Keep telling me the story.
So like, that didn't work anyway to warm him up or anything. So
right.
We went in. And then he was like, I like to sit at the bar. And I was like, on a date, you wouldn't really sit at the bar.
Yeah, a bit of
you?
An awkward. No, I wouldn't. No.
And with the barman listening.
Someone's going to be listening. Yeah, exactly. Like,
no.
It's a pretty confident move to sit at a bar in any situation. I sat at a bar last night, actually, with a friend.
Yeah.
And even at that, I was like, And then because the bar, as soon as a barman starts coming
was
over.
Was it on a date?
No, it's just my mate.
Yeah.
But even with my mate, I'm just like watching what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I like it.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, I'm not sitting at the bar. And then we went and sat down.
Sorry to interrupt. Isn't sitting at the bar for being on your own? Isn't that the whole point of it?
So,
I would have thought
yeah.
that would have been, yeah.
Or with a friend that you're not really bothered. You know, so some friends you just sit with for company. You don't
yeah,
talk
yeah,
to
yeah.
them.
Or local, or like if you're a regular and you're mates with the bar staff.
Or an alcoholic.
Yeah. There's me trying to be PC. But anyway, yes. Yeah. So he likes to sit at the bar.
Yeah. So which I find a bit odd.
Which was intriguing.
On a date. Like, I was just like, no. So we went and sat down and he just wasn't very, like, not very gentlemanly or something.
Okay.
Like, he was just kind of a bit rude. And he kept looking at the ceiling, looking at the floor, looking out the window. Like,
have you any examples of, like, so apart from the looking around of how he was rude, like, did he say stuff? Or
So, like, everything I said. So he said, I said to him, oh, what time do you start work at in the mornings? Like, literally, scrape. Like, I find it easy to talk in general, yeah. But, like, he was fucking hard work.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I start at 8. And I was like, oh, that's a bit early, isn't it? And he was like, everyone starts work at 8.
Oh, God. It's very confrontational.
Yeah. And I was like, they don't. Like, most people start work at 9. Like, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, this is a car crash. This is a car crash.
And he was like laughing. And he was like, no, everyone starts work at 8. Because obviously, wow. My working schedule, I often...
Did you just start singing Dolly Parton? Working 9 to 5, dickhead.
I should have. But like, everything I said was wrong.
Right.
And then he was dying to bring up the comedy, like, and he kept trying to bring it back to the comedy.
Right.
And he was like to me, oh, but you're very sensitive. I wouldn't imagine you'd... And I felt like saying, I'm not sensitive, but you're being rude, like, and everything I say is wrong.
Also, he isn't a clue of fucking comedians then if he's going, yeah, but you're a bit sensitive, so that wouldn't work. Oh, welcome to every comedian you've ever met.
Yeah.
Very sensitive.
And when this kind of came up, he was like, oh, so what sort of people then do you think are comedians? And I was like,
oh my God. It's like it's like you've met for an argument.
Yeah, literally. And then he was like, this is very awkward, isn't it? And I was like, I wasn't even bothered to explain to him then that, like, yeah. You know, I'm finding you rude. Like,
yeah.
It's yeah. Not that, and he was like, oh, I think you're more nervous than me. And I was like, no, I'm not nervous. Like, I just don't want to be here. So I was like, let's just finish our drinks and go. And then we finished them. I was like, right, I'm going to go. I was like, I'll get this. Because, like, I was going to be going past the bar first. And he was like, no, I will get it. So he ran off. And I was like, all right, bye. And, like, he didn't even really turn around.
Wow. Do you think... that's all. That's just rude on so many levels.
I slept with him. He's great in bed, though.
He's not a gentleman, but that's good for the riding.
I wheeled into work the next day.
Do you think so? Right, my analysis of this whole situation, and listeners, please do message me or Taryn, what you think about it,
or maybe this man's listening.
Well, this man's listening. Yeah. What kind of an age is he?
He's 33.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Old enough to have manners, you would think.
You would think. But having said, would you be shocked? You'd be fucking shocked. Mm. Like, I mean, I've been through some, I'm not going to go through them here, but I've been through some experiences of women who are, you know, closer to 40 than anything else. And the way that they go on.
Have you ever had someone be rude to you on a date?
That's a good question. That's a great question. I've had people be rude, and it's kind of explainable because they were drunk.
Yeah.
And not on a date though, on text or voice notes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they can, they pretend it didn't happen the next day or whatever like that. I remember somebody recently actually did. There was a date, and then they were just getting way too into it, way too quick and way too... The thing that can come across as very rude at my age is they want to know where everything is going before you've even met. Where is it all at now, right? And that puts way too much pressure on anybody. And that to me is rude because you're not even bothered to try to get to know me here at all. So there's that. But then...
And that's just like they're in the supermarket looking for a man off a shelf.
Well, you wouldn't be... Like, it is... true story, right?
Yeah.
I went on a date with somebody who was of a certain age, and we didn't really have... It wasn't a date. It wasn't even a date. We were just crossing ways at the same time. We said, we'll meet for a coffee, a casual hang.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, But thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And it was like literally half an hour, 45 minutes. And I didn't get much of a vibe off that. So it was just like, I don't know, we may or may not see each other again, but we're polite enough to text afterwards and all that kind of stuff. I didn't get a text back. And then until the next day, which was a well thought out, not very long one, which is basically that, look at, this is a very high flying individual, by the way, in their own world.
A pilot.
No, but you know, very well, like, you know, owns the house in Ranelagh. Okay,
yeah.
single individual owning their house in Ranelagh, doing well in life, high flyer in the field that they're in, and going and basically in their late 30s, basically said, "Listen, I'm looking to become a mum very soon. I don't think that's on your agenda anytime soon." Like literally, like we haven't even had a conversation about any of that kind of stuff.
Didn't ask you.
Didn't ask. From a 30 to 45 minute casual hang in a pub, like there's forget about even romance. Do you know what I mean? Forget about, do I even like you? Do you know what I mean? Forget about that. Forget about, do you even know me? I'm literally kind of going, but that's definitely one of the things. It'll be an interesting conversation to have at some point where there is this great thing where there are women out there who are who do not want to be seen as just labeled as their only purpose is to reproduce, basically.
Yeah.
And I 150% get that, right? But unfortunately, women are in the exact same position that you have a certain time in which you can decide or make it happen or make it not happen because it won't happen. And then you have situations like this where it's gone on too long and you've invested in the wrong person, or you've invested in your career so much to a point. And I get it. Like, people are going, it's not fucking fair. It's not fair. Yeah, it's not fair, but that's just the way the world is. That's the way biology works, unfortunately. It's no one's fault. It's the way it is. But you get a situation like that where you're going to meet somebody and straight away from the text that you're even having with them before you've even met them, you're wondering, is his sperm good enough for me? Because it's all about sperm. It's not about me at all, is it?
Did you feel insulted?
Yeah. I didn't respond.
You didn't?
No.
It's very hurtful.
It's so insulting. Imagine it was the other way around. You're basically a piece of meat. You're basically a piece of meat. No, I didn't respond to that. It was just like, good luck. Do you know what I mean? And I've had... So that's the type of rudeness that I've experienced. That or people getting drunk and then sending a voice note. And then like one individual was like all about, yes, let's take it easy. Let's take it slow or whatever like that. And then you just go... They just get intense, and like after you literally have met this person 3 times, and they start
the Stephen Mullen effect, though.
Just because I'm saying these stories now doesn't mean that they've all happened in the last week. I'm just saying these are experiences of the past where, you know, you send these rambling long voice notes. You're obviously buckled. Like, why is that a good idea? And then the next morning you go, oh, I deleted that message. Forget about that. Oh, so you've deleted it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't exist in your world now. Is that what you're saying? You know, so
they should apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you've said in that message. And it's completely inappropriate what the individual said, but completely making things completely awkward. And then you're just deleting it. So therefore, in your head, it hasn't happened and you haven't done anything wrong.
And you had to listen to some madness.
2 to 3 minutes of just like being a bit like OTT and inappropriate.
Like, kind of, as in, I really like you, or I really want to jump up on you.
It was more to do with the fact that this person wanted bum 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 now, same thing, right?
Yeah.
we had a conversation about it at the second date, where it's like, let's get to know each other and take it one step at a time, one meeting at a time,
yeah,
and chill, cool the jets, because we're just going to ruin it. You're right. You're absolutely right. Let's just, we should be enjoying every time we meet up, and then that's it. And then you get these rambling things. I need to see you now, blah, 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 blah. It's like 3 a.m. or whatever.
No.
Yeah, yeah. That happens a lot.
And with that particular person, did you see them again?
No.
No, you couldn't.
No. And I was at least, because I didn't respond for a while. I was like,
yeah.
You got to, boundaries are important as well. And then they're going, oh, did I say something wrong? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, and then the next day just going, and then it's like, please don't ghost me. Please don't ghost me, blah, blah, whatever. I'm like, I sent a nice voice note so you can hear my voice and you can hear my tone. And you can go, I'm not angry. I'm not.
I'm disappointed.
I'm not going. I'm not angry. I'm not. I've just given myself some space and like, look, it's not what we talked about and what you're, the way you're acting now. That's not fair, is it? And you know it's not fair, and you know that you've done something wrong. So let's just give space, and then I bumped into the individual in real life after a gig.
Really,
it was pure awkward because I'm not a dick, so I went straight over and said hello and gave her a hug, and then but she was kind of good to see you. Kind of pushed me. She's probably on another date. Who knows?
Yeah,
but
Hopefully she learned from...
Who knows?
You would hope so.
You never know. But there's, see, the problem, you are seeing, men of my age are seeing women who are now under pressure.
Yeah.
Because, and it's a horrible old cliche, because the clock is ticking. And the kind of realization of exactly just what I just said of like, you do get to a certain age, as men never have to go through this to the same degree. There is a degree of like, you don't want to be so old becoming a dad, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
But women definitely get to a certain point where they're like, they've spent so many years exploring maybe this, maybe that, maybe.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, you don't have any time left.
It is, I don't want to have kids, so I'm lucky. I've never had to worry about that.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you're happy, yeah?
Have you heard, who is that woman that has that saying that's just like, don't get married, fuck and fuck until you drop.
Who said that?
And then just buy a house.
Who said that?
Well, this really famous English actress, I can't remember.
Well, that's the thing. But the majority of certainly Western society women, I would say, I could be completely wrong here now, so, but it seems like, well, that's what. Those are the women that you meet in dating world. Are the women that are going, yeah, I'm just going to fucking buy a house, and then going, oh, but I, you know.
And that, yeah, but maybe when I'm 38, then I'll panic and decide. Maybe nature will kick in. I'll be like, actually, I do want to have kids.
And look, there's loads of people that I was talking to a very good friend of mine who, she's I think in her early 30s. She's starting to panic. She's with a fella. She's starting to panic about whether she wants to do it or whether she doesn't want to do it, and. And so I'm like, and then asks me about being a dad and what that's like. And she goes, oh my God, it seems like so much stress or whatever. And I'm
I thought you were going to say she asked you about you making her a dad.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
but she gets very stressed about, you know, if she hears any parenting stuff, she's like, oh my God, it's so stressful. I'm like, it's the most natural thing in the world. It's not.
From the outside, it looks horrible.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Like anyone, I was working with someone this week who does the same job as me. And he said that he was a dad. And I nearly fell off the chair because it was like, I barely have enough money like to get my hair done. And it's like, he makes the same money as me and pays for a child.
Well, it's like, I don't think I've ever had less money in my life when my ex got pregnant.
Yeah.
I don't give a, because I started off life, I started off my working life at 17, did a carpentry apprenticeship. And then I got up to, by the time I was 21, I was making good money for a 21-year-old at the time. I had a car. I had I rented a accommodation and all that.
Called it.
I absolutely.
I don't know why you're denying it. You told me that's what you called
that
it.
That is not true, and that's why it's fun, because you keep trying to put this persona on me.
But that's what you called. You told me that in Edinburgh.
No, I didn't.
The pussy wagon.
I didn't. It's not true.
And you took all the seats out of the back. And you had a blow up bed.
Do you know, there was a fella, where did I hear this story? There was a guy who had a van like that.
Yeah, called Stephen Mullen.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. a guy who would go out like the burn and all that kind of stuff to go visit the farmers, and he'd drive the van, and a prostitute would work out the back of the van, and they would drive to the farmers so the farmers could have their "Who's your father?" in the back of the van. Yeah. But while that was happening in the back of the van, he had another van and he'd go rob their house. Think
about it. Oh my God.
What an operation. Yeah. What were we talking about? Yeah,
a genius idea. If he wasn't robbing the houses, you'd say, well, if everyone's happy with that situation, it sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, it's the oldest business in the world, you know. If people are happy, then like who's the, but so anyway, why was I talking about being around that? Yeah, so when I had money at that age, that was like, you know, that was the best. I had so much expended. I think of when I started, I went and started in acting after all that kind of stuff, and the things I sold, like guitars worth $2,000, and all this kind of stuff, golf clubs, like all this kind of stuff. That I just, in hindsight, I had so much expendable money, I could literally do what I wanted.
Yeah.
I wasn't loaded, but I was just like, I had money in my pocket all the time that I could do what I wanted. And then I was like, by the time I had was going to become a dad, like I was a waiter in London, just like every penny counts. Like,
what type of a restaurant was it, the one in London?
It's called Lyle's. It was a British modern cuisine, Michelin star, but not fine dining.
Yeah.
Gorgeous food, like farm to table, kind of like we had a relationship with every producer of everything
I'd
that
say
we
you
got
did anyway.
I'm not that guy, and this—I love this narrative that makes. So, but yeah, every bit of everything we knew where it all came from, and I did the wine, I did the coffee, I worked women. The kitchen for a while. Tara Sullivan, ladies and gentlemen. So that Monday was horrific for you, yeah. Tara, and that's it. But like,
well, I like how you brought it back there. That was seamless.
Back to your drama, yeah. Subtle segue there. Yeah,
so, but Monday was horrific. Yeah. So I went and met my friend for a drink afterwards. She's deleted all the apps.
Right.
I think everyone in our group that's single, because we're all single.
I also think that, and I have spoken to this, that I have to two women that I have gone on dates on. It's a completely different ballgame for women.
Yeah.
Completely different kind of.
But I don't get the perverts, and I don't know what it is about me. They're not interested in me.
If you could all see her face as she's saying that, because you do want the perverts. That's
like, I'd love, like, there's a TikTok account of this woman, this Irish woman who puts up just funny stories. Of right. Like, and I'd love that kind of, I mean,
of,
any attention.
Of silly dating stories.
No, like of men sending her really mad, weird messages.
Oh, right.
Like, none of that.
Somebody sent me a screenshot of a comment that they got on Instagram recently that a guy was like, please, can you show me a picture of your dead end? Like, and I'm like, oh my God.
My God.
Yeah, just literally, just straight out. The guy's account, his name is there, the whole thing. Do you know what I mean?
What?
Yeah, it's just. And this is in the comments of one of her photos. Like, yeah. It's just like, it's bizarre.
And did she send it to him?
I have no idea. But I'm just like, my God, you know. Yeah. So how many of you and your friends are.
So we're in a small group of five.
Five, okay.
And three
five single girls. Or
no, three of us are single.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's it.
One's a gay man. He has a boyfriend. And right. Then, yeah, Tane has a boyfriend.
Right. So the lads are not single and the girls are single, is it?
Well, Tane's a girl as well.
Right. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so the three, yeah, me, Claudia and Camilla are single.
Gorgeous girls.
We are all.
Shout out your Instagram handles here for any lads that are listening. You never know what comes off the podcast. So yours is TaranOS77, is it?
Yeah.
I'll put that in the description to this podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
I have some lovely pictures of the three of us. You could put up
the three of us. Of the three of you? Yeah. I'll put them up on the podcast. You can send them on to me. So go on, shout out your handle.
Mine is TaranOS77.
TaranOS77.
I don't know what the girls are off my head.
Right, okay. Well, I'll put them all in the. If you're a singer.
And all, for you, Stephen, as well.
All the girls are off the apps.
We're all off the apps.
I've never bumped into any of you on the apps. BTW.
I've seen you twice. Once on Hinge. Have you? Yeah.
I haven't seen you at all.
And on Hinge, it was after that gig.
Right.
The first gig. And then I saw you on Tinder when we were in Edinburgh.
Did you?
Yeah, we laughed about that.
Did we?
Yeah.
I didn't get swiped right on
him. No, I didn't give him the satisfaction. I said, he's got enough women after him without me.
I don't really frequent them that.
I don't think it's good for your mind.
Also, it's not good for your mind, but it's not. We didn't have the time in Edinburgh, let's be honest about
it.
No time for that carry on at all.
Well,
you
managed a few little dalliances.
I literally went for dinner with one person the whole time. That was it. That was it.
Well, still.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, and I went on the date with the catfish. We didn't get there.
Yeah, sorry. So, yeah, so the catfish is. Yeah, go on.
So he looked. And I'm not being like.
So
I'm,
this is just to reframe for everybody. When you got back to Edinburgh. So when you started off in Edinburgh on the second day.
Yeah.
You go on a date with a guy off Tinder.
Yeah. And he was a catfish.
Because.
He didn't look like his pictures.
At all.
No.
It wasn't the same guy.
Well, it was the same guy. Like, you could tell that the face was his, but like, he'd altered them. Definitely.
How did he alter them?
Because this
filters
man...
Filters or whatever.
Yeah, or like he... Like physically, he looked completely different. Like his face was kind of... You could tell it was him.
Right.
But like in his pictures, he'd made himself look, you know, like 6 foot something. And like he was maybe 5 foot four.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And like I'm 5 foot seven.
Oh.
And not that I have a huge thing, but he was also like... Like, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but he was tiny. He had tiny little hands.
Right.
And tiny little feet.
I hope he doesn't... Hold on. I hope he's not got a disability here or something terrible.
No, I don't know, but he just...
He was just small.
There was no issue with that, but it was
You just
like,
weren't attracted.
No.
Yeah, you weren't attracted, and also that wasn't what he was selling.
But it was also a bit weird, like, and I felt pissed off, because I was like, well, you don't... Like you don't.
Was that the conversation?
No. Right. I was nice. I had a drink. And then I said, "Listen, I've got to go home." And he messaged me then, and he was like, "Am I a catfish?"
Oh, so he knew. He knew.
And I was like, "Well, to be honest, yeah." And it's like, why are you going to sit there and have a drink with someone who's lied to you?
Mm. And so what? So where did the conversation go after that? So you told him, yeah.
I just said, yeah. And he said, all right, sorry, maybe I should change my pictures. He knew fucking well. I'd say it wasn't the first time it had happened.
Right, yeah.
Which is weird, like, because he's trying to lure women into...
It's a bit scary, to be honest with you. You shouldn't be doing that, yeah.
And then he knows of it. So he's obviously hoping, well, eventually someone mightn't care.
God bless him. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, there was nothing wrong with him. There's completely... It's not that he wasn't attractive or anything. It's just like, it was the
That's
weirdest...
Not you.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and
That's
it wasn't...
Just too creepy.
It was really unsettling.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, the fact then that he sent the message, it was like, well, he knows and he's wasted my time.
Mm. How do you feel about being a female in stand-up comedy? So you obviously, it was a deterrent with that arsehole, but do you think it's a deterrent? Honestly, think it's a deterrent in general?
Yeah, I think so. Like, definitely.
Can I just say, by the way, with the first guy, by the way, if you said to him, the first thing you said to him was, what's wrong with you? That might, and he doesn't get it, that would have started off on the wrong foot, wouldn't it? If he didn't get it, he'd be like, because I get your sense of humor, Taryn. I get your dry sense
of
humor.
But, like, surely he should have known. Like, if you're meeting someone for the first time, I think you should smile.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You gotta greet somebody.
Yes.
You gotta greet them. You gotta, hey, nice
How
to meet
are you.
You.
Yeah.
Hug or like, kiss or
if,
whatever.
If it
not,
was
not
one
key,
of,
you know what I mean?
The cheek, snog whatever. Them. That's what you do, Steve. Shocking.
I'm straight in. Yeah. But like, show us your growler. Sorry.
If so, your growler. That's what Stephen calls women's bits. Absolutely shocking.
A fellow friend of mine, he used to say that when we, I think it was driving by, he just shouted out the window.
Show us your growler.
Show us your growler.
And was he single, this man?
Yeah, a Northsider.
That's the type of man on the dating apps, I'd assume.
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, show us your growler. That's about 20 years ago humor, though.
Yeah.
But sorry, yes, I'm interrupting you.
Like, if someone had watched this, you know when dating experts watch the shows?
Yeah, well, one sec. Sorry, guys, you won't have... Sorry, let's just... There was a gap there. I apologize to everybody listening because I'm not going to edit it out.
No.
But what has just happened there is mid-conversation, Taryn was in the middle of saying something and I went, damn it! I pressed pause on the recording. I was supposed to do something online and I didn't do it and I was going to be in big trouble. I had to order people's dinner for them. Anyway, it's done now. I'm sorry for interrupting. And I don't even know what we were talking about. We were talking about going back into the date with the guy.
Yeah. And I was just saying, like, if someone, you know what, them TV shows where there's experts watching the date and then afterwards they're like, this is what you do.
I didn't know they exist, but I would love to watch them.
Maybe, right? Like, you know, like.
I think I'll be good at it, analysis wise.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. All right, Stephen.
No, I don't mean you in general. I mean, just anyway, go
no,
on.
I yeah, know, yeah, yeah. And if they were to watch it, they, like, everything was wrong.
Yes.
I think. On his part.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm sure he thought I was an asshole probably because I got defensive then.
Mm.
Especially when he was talking about the comedy thing, because it's kind of like, that's your art, isn't it? And that's how you express yourself. And when someone's kind of picking on it, you're like, well...
Is that what he's saying? No, you're saying this
I
now.
Just felt like he was attacking it.
Yeah, and that's because we were... Yeah, because the funny thing, women being funny and fellas not liking it. Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's a, I don't know, because I hear, I just haven't witnessed a lot of it, but I hear a lot of...
Women being funny.
I definitely hear a lot of that, but I hear I hear a lot of, apparently, well, maybe I've done, I don't know, if yeah. but women saying, oh, we get told what to do all the time, or we get blah, 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 or... But I mean, we get told to, anyway, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been told what to do plenty of times as well. But we get told what to do with regards our funniest and all that kind of stuff. And then that men audience won't like.
I find with comedy, when I started doing more of the open spots, not as much the open mics, I used to get so offended when I've crossed. Because a lot of times you are the only girl on.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's one or two others.
Yeah.
And I used to get really offended when straight away people would give you advice and it would just happen to be men.
Right.
And I was always like, why are they always straight over? Tell me what. And then right. I started realizing they're all doing it to each other. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
it's
not
just me.
So I will say that is something that I hear exactly that.
Yeah.
That I hear a lot of women giving out. And it's just like, that's not a male versus female thing necessarily.
No.
When I was coming up, I got that all the time.
Yeah.
Or here's what you did wrong. Or here's what because you're young. Impressionable person trying to figure it out. And sometimes when you're trying to figure out certain clubs, you don't know until you... And then you get the opposite side of it where they don't want to help you.
Yeah.
So you will get... You will kind of get... well, they try to put you off before you go on. That happens as well.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do they do that?
The first time it happened to me was a place called the Comedy Cafe in Shoreditch. I don't think it's on anymore. And the guy... Oof, I can't remember his name now. But literally, as the MC is in the middle of saying my name, so he's got the, ladies and gentlemen, can we just get everyone all together? And everyone's clapping and going roar and it's loud noise, 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 noise. And I'm literally making my move from the comedian's area to walk through the crowd to the stage because they're clapping for me. Literally, as he's saying the words, Stephen Mullen, this guy tugs my shoulder, right, and says to me, do you remember that bit that you did about blah, blah, blah? And I was like, yeah. And I'm trying to walk away. And he's like, you should do that right now. But he's just completely fucked up my head just so that I'm up there going. And I was off kilter then.
What an asshole.
Because I was up there and I was like, you know, kind of like started like that because he's just put something in your head and you've got so much to deal with naturally when you're walking up anyway to interact with the MC or to blah, blah, blah. Now, that's something that, in hindsight, I know. And because I didn't actually know what exactly that was until somebody told me exactly what it was and was like, oh, yeah. He was just
and was he known for doing that?
I don't know, but
yeah.
That's a thing that people do things to put you off all the
that's
time.
So
people
mean.
People give you advice to, here's why you shouldn't do that joke all the time.
Yeah.
And then I have a bit of a policy of, now there's someone in particular that does it all the time to me. And I'll then, you shouldn't do that routine now because of blah, blah, blah. And I literally will start off with it then.
Yeah.
And make it work and kill with it. And then like on purpose. So there's like, not all comedians are like that. And not all successful comedians are like that at all.
Yeah.
But some are. And it's like, I suppose it's like any walk of life. Some are assholes. Like people who are ridiculously supportive of what I'm doing and would never say what to do or not to do would be Des Bishop, Jason Byrne, Gerard Farley. Like they've never, like they're literally going, you know, and then you'd find yourself, because they're so good and they're so experienced, you find yourself going to them, do you think I should blah, blah, blah? And they will help you out with it. And then sometimes Des is very good at like kind of going, bro, you just got to work it out. You got to get up there and figure it out for yourself. How did you do everything else? Just go figure it out. And he's right, you know. So he give you the kick in the arse as well sometimes as well. So nothing but encouraging. But you will get people who will put you off. Who say, you can't do that bit.
Speaking of Des Bishop, I was watching In America the night before last and I forgot that he was in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, he was a, what was he? He was like some kind of a banking dude or a stocks guy.
Who starts rapping.
He starts rapping, yeah.
It was amazing.
And you know what the mental thing about that whole thing is? That all that was shot in the Docklands here.
Stop it.
Yeah, they just had just put it up in a certain way. They had built it off in a certain way.
Was the whole film shot in Ireland?
I don't think the whole thing, but a good bit of it was.
No.
I think all the exteriors were done in Dublin and then the interiors were all done in New York or something like that. Yeah. Something crazy like that. Yeah,
that,
isn't it nuts?
That seems like the wrong way around, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. But you know, it was all done. That scene was done. Because Des told me where he went to meet Jim Sheridan, like down in the Ferryman pub.
Yeah.
That's where he met him to go through the lines and all that kind of stuff and then put him on set. So that was all recorded in Dublin. Yeah. That bit was recorded in Dublin.
Well, where I live in Dublin, Jim lives around me. So we see him all the time, just walking, just like a normal person. You're like, he's so
it's Jim Sheridan,
famous.
Oscar winning.
Yeah, so you have to get down there, Stephen. Start walking around.
I know Jim. Well, where we are recording at the moment is like he used to come in and do talks at the factory when it was the factory back in the day.
Yeah.
He's great. He's great. Yeah, like very he's cool. beautiful. Like he's an artist. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? He's like completely in his own world all the time in the most beautiful way. That he will literally walk into a room and just continue on with the conversation that was going on in his head, and everybody else just has to get on board. That's it. You have no idea where he's going to start or whatever. He just starts going. But anyway, so we went from dating to Jim Sheridan turn. That was impressive.
Yeah, because I am dating Jim Sheridan. That's what I want to tell everyone.
Well, so there's obviously a lot of everybody wants to be loved, Taryn, right?
Yeah.
But do we all want to be in a relationship? That's a good, great question to have. Do you want to be in a relationship?
Not at the minute, no. I wouldn't want to be.
And is that because of Monday?
Because I'm only single since February.
Right.
And you
just want a bit of crack.
Yeah, I found that relationship actually looking back, I'm like, oh, I really like living on my own now.
Yeah.
I like the peace.
Yes.
Like, life is hard enough without trying to regulate someone else's emotions.
Yeah, which you shouldn't have to do all the time, but anyway.
And maybe in a healthy relationship you wouldn't do that. But I feel like I've got a tiny bit of PTSD from that.
Which is fair enough.
Oh, I think it would be another year or two.
Here's your brother.
Yeah.
I think if you've come out of long-term relationships, it's kind of like, yeah, you just don't want to be hopping into another one necessarily.
And when I look at people who go from relationship to relationship, I'm like, what?
Yeah, I know people like that. And it's just like, you're like, they don't know themselves, unfortunately.
Like a friend, a guy that I know was telling me.
And if you're going from relationship to relationship, they're not working out.
No.
So you keep hopping into the next one.
Because you're not dealing with... But a guy I know was like to me the other day, he was like, oh, do you know, I've broken up with my girlfriend and I've met someone else already and this is the person that I'm meant to be with. I'm so happy now. And it's like, oh, God. Like, you know, and you just don't know what to say because you're like, that's not.
Do you know what I had this thought the other day. I'm writing a bit on it. I kind of did write a bit, but it's basically the idea of like, you know, when you tell a friend of yours that you've met somebody, right?
Yeah.
And you're in love. Nobody goes, oh my God, I'm so excited for you. Everyone goes, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It's like, you're fucked.
Because your friend
like, congratulations. But you can see trauma in their eyes. Like
they might as well look at you like someone saying that they're in love. All of a sudden, they might as well look at you and be like, I've gone mad.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like,
yes.
I need to be treated.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's like, no.
Yeah. Because that, like, I mean, I haven't successfully written about it on stage, but it's like, love is fucking ugly. It's decision, it's dirty, it's, you know, it's clipping fucking your partner's toenails when they're 73 because they can't reach them, and you know, that's love. Do you know what I mean? Love is a dirty, strong, and that doesn't mean that, because we romanticize love way too much, and love is brutal, it's tough. Like, do you know what I mean? It's really difficult, but we don't think of it like that. And then when you have someone like you who goes like, and I've met a few people I'm enjoying my own space. I enjoy not getting involved. At least they're honest about it because love is a bloody dirty job.
Like heaven, like it's heaven now. Coming home in the evenings, being by myself, we eating what I want to do, keeping the house how I want to keep it.
Yeah,
which is a kip.
Yeah.
but like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and I'm doing harm to no one. Like,
yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you still want the little cuddle. I think there's a lot of single women out there right now who are thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah,
I've met a lot of women who are just like, I would just like the bit of physical love from time to time.
Yeah,
and get the fuck out.
That's it. Like, leave. This is my place now. Like, I wouldn't take a man to come and live with me now. I would not, for all the money in the world. Yeah, like, he could be stunning.
Yeah.
Built like a tree. And I'd be like, I do not want you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because you'd like to climb him. Tree.
Yeah. That's why.
Well, Taryn, we ended up talking about Love Life a lot, but it's been great to catch up since Edinburgh.
Thank you.
You're looking gorgeous.
I'm stunning.
Yeah, exactly. Follow her on Instagram at TaryNOS77. I'll put the link to Taryn's. DM her on Instagram if you like what you see. DM her on Instagram. She's looking for dates, for fun dates. I think that's important to say. Fun. Don't be a dry shy. Friendly.
Yeah.
Manners. That's some of the things I've put on my page is like, what's the best way to win me over? And that's like, literally, be nice. Is that hard? Because people aren't nice.
And chatty and open and ask questions.
Yeah.
People don't do that.
Just go in and fun, enjoy the date. And that doesn't mean that it has to go somewhere after that.
Yeah.
Enjoy the date first and foremost. Make an analysis afterwards.
Yes.
Ladies and Taryn, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you,
it's been great.
Happy
Friday.
Friday.
Don't tell them what tape's recording. Give away the secrets. We're recording here on a Friday morning. No. See you soon, folks. Thanks for listening in. Peace and love.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.